Welcome to the Monday, March 18th, 2012 edition of the Science and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and I am recording today from Jacksonville, Florida. First, an update on the RDP vulnerability. The story around the RDP vulnerability and the release of the exploit actually took an interesting spin. As it turns out, some of the exploit code found online right around the time of the bulletin release included references to internal documents only really known by Microsoft and its partners. Microsoft does share vulnerability information like that with some trusted partners, and this kind of opens up the suggestion that there may be a leak in that process. But well, other than that, there isn't really much new to report. We moved back to Infocon green as a result. As noted before, the Infocon really is just designed to indicate change. So while there's still a problem out there, we may still see some kind of RDP worm or widespread exploitation. At this point, really, there isn't anything new to report. Just keep on patching, keep on securing your remote desktop servers and terminal services. And in diaries today, phishing attacks are not just directed at English speakers. Manuel today wrote up a nice example he received. Being located in South America, this one was a lot more plausible to him as it was written in Spanish, first of all, and then it claimed to come from a large South American airline, LAN. The email claimed to inform the user of a rejected flight booking due to bad credit card information, and then of course the phishing site asked for the credit card information. Now, just randomly, maybe, you know, 1 in 10,000, 1 in 100,000 of users that are receiving this email may have just booked a flight with LAN in the last few days, and of course in this case these attacks will look a lot more plausible than some of these more common online banking phishing attacks. And Mozilla announced that the next version of Firefox, version 12, will include a silent updater that will apply further patches without any user interaction. In particular, given the fact that many users never quite warmed really up to Mozilla's rapid versioning system, this may cause some additional concerns with plugin compatibility. A lot of people I know, in particular the more power users that use a lot of plugins, tend to be careful about upgrading Firefox because a lot of plugins will not work if the major version is changed. Now, this, of course, can frequently be easily fixed by plugin developers by just marking them as compatible with future versions. However, there's no guarantee that they will actually work just because changes to the APIs and such that these plugins may use. And in malware news, Kaspersky reports of a unique and so far not widely seen piece of malware that appears to be entirely memory resistant, not writing any files, and as a result, it's a bit harder for it to be picked up by anti-malware tools. For example, also a lot of the whitelisting tools that I like a lot may not pick this up because it never really hits the disk. The exploit injects an encrypted DLL file into the running Java process. It does exploit a somewhat older Java vulnerability that has been exploited by various malware in the past, and this particular DLL will then essentially just run inside the Java process, and it includes the bot functionality that will then connect back to a command and control channel. At this point, the exploit was only seen at a particular Russian ad network, so that's why it's not really all that widespread. One of the problems, of course, is that forensics analysis will be a lot harder if the machine is turned off. The malware itself, or the exploit itself, will not survive a reboot. However, it will then possibly download additional bots. Now, you may still find these additional bots, but you will have a real hard time figuring out how they got onto the system. Well, and this is it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.